O Lord, may your holy word equip us for every good work. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Just before our worship, a dear friend said, "Keep it short." Little does he know that instead of one, you almost had two sermons today. I have never been more drawn to one theme and yet feel called to preach on another. I so wanted to preach on the call to be evangelists, to share and proclaim the message. But I just felt there was another theme, and this is the one I will share with you. And it's based on a text, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. In 2005, a current presidential candidate co-authored with his or her, I'm not saying who it was, his or her daughter, a book called All Your Worth. It was based on what has now become the famous 50-30-20 divide. 50% of our money for our needs, 30% for our wants, and then 20% to pay off our debt, and when we can, to begin saving. The book, though, left unclear what are our needs and what are our wants, which is interesting, I think, as we approach our stewardship season. It also left unclear whether giving back to God, being good stewards of money and time, was a need or a want, but you'll hear more of that later. Much earlier, in 1943, Abraham Maslow created that famous pyramid of needs. The lower four levels he described as D needs, deficit needs. The top level he described as a B need, a being need. Needs, wants. Now at 10 o'clock, we baptize a sweet baby who is scared of this priest called Sienna, how she views her, we could ask her how she views her wants and her needs. There wouldn't be much of an answer there. But it's unnecessary because Frank and Caroline, her parents, know full well that Sienna's needs are to be fed, to be kept warm, a few other tasks, but above all, to be held and to be loved. This is what she needs. Now, all of this prompts me to ask Jesus this very direct question this morning. Jesus, what do you think I need? And I think the opening verse of today's gospel gives me my answer. Jesus told the disciples that what they need is to pray always and not lose heart. And in some archaic translations, the word need is translated as it behooves you. I just love that word. Say it with me, behooves. It's just fun to say. It behooves me, it behooves you. We need to pray always and not to lose heart. So there we have it. Jesus' analysis of our need. And I could stop there, but I won't. Because I want to look with you briefly at the context of those needs, the combination that they have, interlocking with each other, and their culmination. First, the context. If you look back in Luke chapter 17, you see quite clearly verses 1, verses 22, that Jesus is talking to his disciples. Much, if not all, of his teaching is addressed to those who have a relationship with him, those who have observed his patience and acceptance, those who have witnessed his acts of power and great authority, those who have sat and walked and lived with Jesus as a friend. Now, this quality of a relationship with Jesus is available to us all. Matthew 11, 23, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door and lets me in, I will come in and stay. All of us have a possibility of a close relationship with Jesus. So here now I see a classic chicken or egg casuality dilemma. In simpler terms, what comes first? Is it that we have a relationship with Jesus and therefore our need is greater to pray and not lose heart? Or is it that if we listen to the need to pray and not lose heart, our relationship with Jesus will become deeper and more personal? Friends, we cannot work out the tension between those two. So we may as well, in the words of a famous dictum this week, just get over it and get on with it. Then we have the combination. Pray, not lose heart. Billy Bray is a favorite man of mine. He was born in 1794. He was a godless man and he was very happy with that condition. And yet in 1823, this roué was roundly converted to Christ, and he began the most incredible preaching ministry in Cornwall. In fact, once he was in a church in Cornwall, a Church of England church, and as the minister was preaching, Billy Bray suddenly stood up and said, "The parson's converted." He had been converted by his own preaching, and Billy Bray realized it. Billy Bray used to say, "I can't help praising God. As I go along the street, I lift up one foot and it says glory, and I lift up the other and it says amen. So I'm going to keep on walking." Well, I'm going to suggest a spiritual exercise for you and for me this coming week. One step is pray. The other step is persist. Pray, persist. You can't do it all the time, there'll be accidents, no doubt, but just try it from time to time. Use Billy Bray's example. And when Jesus talks of our need, do you hear that? Our need to pray and to not lose heart. He doesn't offer us a choice of one or the other. This is no Christian buffet bar where we choose what we fancy and come back for some more. These two are one whole. And then finally, the culmination of our need. I think it is absolutely crucial to notice that whereas our gospel begins with verse 1, the need to pray and not lose heart, it ends with a vision that God will one day bring justice to his people. You see, our ability to pray and to not lose heart is based on the fact that one day God will put it right. One day God will put it right. The great Baptist preacher Spurgeon once said, "We will not grow weary of waiting upon God if we remember how long and how graciously he has waited upon us." If we remove ourselves, for whatever reason, from the arena that celebrates the majesty and the sovereignty and the authority of God, then our passion for prayer and for persistence will abate. Now, just stay with me here, if you can, for a few more moments. I want you to be patient as I conclude on a rather personal note. Earlier this year, I suffered what my surgeon called a heart explosion. Or again, in his words, "Alan, you died 7 times. For quite a while in recovery, I had neither the strength nor the inclination to pray or to persist. The period of recovery, maybe in a way something like a church interim period, The period of recovery for me was beset with feelings of sadness, of grief, of hopelessness, and despair. But at one point, I almost heard the Lord say to me very clearly, "Alan, helplessness is not hopelessness." Though I could not or would not pray at times, there were other people who carried me. And when it was most dark to me, there were other people who urged, Do not lose heart, literally, but do not lose heart. Persist. I needed there, most crucially, to pray and to persist. So I'm praying this week that somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives will be filled again with the awareness of our need to pray and to persist, walking day by day. Amen.